Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Look at guys. I'm just going to discard that. I'm going to look at guys in my life who I would say, yeah, this guy was a fantastic quarterback. Like, in my book, he was a Hall of Famer. If I had a vote, I would vote yes for. And no doubt, really, it's Eli Manning, because he was that guy. He was one of those guys, one of the best for a long time. And then I weigh a lot. Yeah, I'm a Patriots hater. And I know a lot of people in the car right now are probably like, hell yeah, because we love seeing them lose. And the way he did it in that matter, those big wins that he had, it was awesome. I mean, there's something to be said for a player to rise to the top. Like, I'm not saying Eli Manning's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I just think that he's done enough to enter that realm of Hall of Fame.
Question for you, Tom. Let me ask something. Yeah, that's okay. Let's just say you were a fan of a particular team, okay?
Okay.
So you're a big fan of this particular team. And there's a quarterback on another team who beats your team in the Super Bowl twice, including one of those years where your team would have been undefeated if they'd won. Mm-hmm. Would that probably color your perception of this particular quarterback?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Surprisingly, it's actually really hard to get in the Hall of Fame as a quarterback.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very frequently. I mean, 2017, we saw Kurt Warner, of course, deserves to be in the Super Bowl, right? Or Super Bowl. Of course, there was being the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
He had a way more productive career probably than Eli. Doesn't have the Super Bowls to say so quite. Ken Stabler, 2016. Retired. He probably was on the ballot his last chance to actually get in. I mean, years and years and years. I mean, Troy Aikman got it in 2006. So before Ken Stabler, Brett Favre, Kurt Warner, we hadn't seen a quarterback make the Hall of Fame since 2006. Troy Aikman.
But because of the way the rules have changed, I would argue that we're going to have, when the floodgates open, we're going to have a whole bunch of quarterbacks.
Well, how are they changing? Is more people going to be able to get in now?
No. I mean the rules that have allowed for more passing and guys.
Okay.
You know, guys like Matthew Stafford have like Hall of Fame.
I always think of it would be interesting, like, if you were to take a quarterback from a different generation and put him into the league now, how they would act. Like, in my opinion, like, granted, I am a Dolphins fan, but
Dan Marino,
how would he look in modern offenses where you're dropping back 50 times a game? Like, it would be insane.
I don't see him run the zone stretch.
Yeah. But still, like, just little things like that. It always, just as a football fan, makes me curious, you know? Of course, where I think maybe Eli Manning, if you put him in 10 years ago and he retired, there'd be no question.
That's like the old Saturday Night Live skit where Michael Jordan went back in time and was playing like after they first invented the game. You know?
Like Bob Cousy.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Look who scores again.
Yeah.
On the text line, Nash, this is interesting. Matthew from Danville. I don't know what you did to tick him off.
Yeah,
Nash
Matthew's
is changing
the road.
Subject and backtracking on those stats now. This might become the next 30 for 30, fellas.
Yeah. I didn't backtrack. I actually gave more clarity, so you're welcome,
okay, Matthew.
By the way, Matthew from the 925, I am a resident of the 925 now, so I'm a little hurt that my own people in my backyard are going against me.
Hey, Matthew from Danielville, can I get your number, bro? Can we talk off air? I got some material for you for next time.
So Giants held Brady to 17 and 14 points. Not sure why Eli got MVPs. Fair enough. Thank you, Justin.
That's a quarterback award.
Also in the text line,
bogus.
Eli better thank David Tyree in his speech. And here's an interesting question. Is Eli Manning the big shot Bob Ori of the NFL?
I think
no.
No?
No, because Robert Ori was never anything close to the quarterback.
True.
Fair
That's
enough.
A good point, yeah.
But I see the
similarity.
In terms of how significant his role actually was, maybe he was third or fourth on that list. I mean, the Giants defense played a huge role in both those Super Bowls. Mm. Ahmad Bradshaw.
Justin Tuck.
Who's my other? Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Both those
I
guys.
Love Brandon Jacobs
and then
when I was younger.
And then it probably goes Eli. So maybe.
On the text line, if you guys never get sick and show up every day to work, do you go into the 95-7, the game
I'm
Hall
on my
of
way.
Fame? There's more to a quarterback playing that many games in a row and starting that many games in a row than just, you know, it's not like an attendance record in school. You
got
to be good.
You can't use that as
you
a qualification.
You got to be tough.
I think adding it to list, to me, when I read that, you know, 16 and a half of 17 years, the guy never got hurt. I mean, think about it. It's not like Eli Manning. I'm sure there's some
days.
Well,
Tommy, excuse me, but you know he had to play hurt for a lot of that, which.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So what I'm basically getting at is like, it's hard to compare, of course, us, where it's like, yeah, if you get like the flu, it's not like he's going, oh, I'm going to miss a game today because this injuries happen to people. People break arms, tear ACLs. There's something to be said for and being at the NFL, playing at the highest level, of never just getting injured. There's a difference between hurt and sick and injured, which happens to some of the best of them.
Let's look at other sports for examples right now. Why do you probably can know better than me? Is AC Green in the NBA Hall of Fame?
No, and he won't be.
and he is the greatest Ironman of all time in the NBA. Had a streak of 1,192 consecutive games.
Right.
Right now, Joe Ingles.
You know what the AC stood for, by the way?
Aaron Carter.
Nothing. It was just AC. That was his name.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And right now, it's Joe Ingles is that guy. I mean, are these guys Hall of Famers? No. So you can't really use this as a qualification. Now, if the guy is healthy enough and productive enough in his ability to stay healthy, he's obviously playing the capitalizing on the amount of games, then sure, he's probably going to play himself into the Hall of Fame. But it can't be used as a qualification of why he deserves to be in
but
there.
But with all due respect, I think you're twisting the argument a little bit. We're not saying, I don't mean to speak for Tommy, you can certainly speak for himself. We're not saying he should be in the Hall of Fame because he made the 220 consecutive starts. We're just saying when you look at his overall body of work,
yeah,
he
resume.
Did a lot of things that make him Hall of Fame worthy. That's just one of them.
Well, where does that rank on the list of qualifications to get in? I hope it's on the bottom.
Super Bowls is at the top.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think
Super Bowl MVPs.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere mixed in. I don't think it's
if he doesn't win those Super Bowls, is he in?
No, I don't think so. There are four pillars of a quarterback's legacy. There's passing records, there's MVPs, there's Super Bowl wins, and I forget what the other one is, right? Maybe it's not Super Bowl MVPs. Anyway.
Comebacks, maybe something of that nature.
MVP awards. Anyway, he's got two Super Bowl wins, and in both of those, he was the MVP. That's the making of one of the greatest legacies of all time, but that has a very solid NFL quarterback legacy.
I mean,
especially
the MVP
doing it in New York,
themselves.
Too, which maybe shouldn't be, but I think that's a factor as well.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the texts on it, somebody said it earlier, too. I mean, did he really deserve those MVPs? And Tommy said it right. I mean, it's a quarterback award, whether they deserve it or not. But, I mean, how do you give it to somebody on the defense? It's just so tough.
They have to make a spectacular play.
Like, that's just because we're all football dumb, and we are the quarterback to get it. By the way, playoff wins is the other element, the other pillar of a quarterback's legacy.
Eli Manning maybe made the playoffs only in 40% of his seasons. That should be a reason to take him out. He for sure didn't go. So he went to the Super Bowl in 11. Then I think they went to the playoffs in 13. So they're talking about 12. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
I'm kind of wondering, Whitey, is there a guy that is out there that maybe we're missing that maybe has a Super Bowl win and was a fantastic talent, and when he played on the field, he had Hall of Fame talent, but injuries may have stunted his career to where if he had the Iron Man style of well, it's just like a blessing from Eli Manning. There, like I, this might be a reach, but like a Randall Cunningham. You know, if he was around the right team and he was able to stay healthy.
Yeah, sadly, there's probably a handful of guys, right? Yeah. I mean, we can only guess. But.
So it plays a factor. I think it's just part of the game. I mean, it's a skill of Eli's, but it's hard to, put that in a bottle and give it to somebody else.
Yeah, if you dismiss Manning, ask somebody from the 415, I wish you put your name on it. If you dismiss Manning because the defense was so good, you can make the argument that Jimmy G doesn't deserve the credit this year.
And we've honestly been down that rabbit hole a lot of times this year. And honestly, if they win the Super Bowl, I don't know how much credit we're giving Jimmy, but we're not taking it away from Jimmy.
Well, the argument there, and I don't like this argument, but if you were going to counter that, you'd say quarterback win-loss record, right?
Yeah.
That's where you'd go there. 117 and 117 versus Garoppolo, who's, what is he now?
20-5 or something like that. Yeah.
By the way, Eli Manning, 6 playoff appearances in 16 years. I'm sorry, that's not Hall of Fame level. There's more bad seasons than good. And I know 2 of those 6 were really good, and they resulted in a Super Bowl.
They were the best.
This man was a bona fide scrub. He can't play.
You can't justify that. I'm sorry. You can't justify a guy that's considered a loser.
Said the Patriots fan.
You just can't justify it. Yeah. He's literally, if you look at his career, he is a loser. Like,
is it?
I disagree with that.
What are your 4 accolades?
Yeah.
In my opinion,
the 4 pillars of a quarterback's legacy are passing records, playoff wins, Super Bowls, and MVP awards.
So his playoff wins aren't high. He's only made the playoffs, 30% of his career? He has the Super Bowl wins. He doesn't have a single passing record. I don't know what the 4th one was. Playoff wins? No,
MVPs. And he has 2 Super Bowl MVP awards, no regular season.
And again,
to me, that's enough.
So then this goes back to the old saying, like Allen Iverson had 1 really good historic season. But is that enough to justify him as like a top 10 NBA player all time? Probably not. So Eli Manning's two really good top 10. Well,
I just I love AI. So and this kind of pairs with what my Eli Manning. One of my things that I hate about the Hall of Fame is it gives us months and years to sit here and debate the stats, where sometimes people lose the moment. And Nash, one of the things that you and I really get along with is sometimes, like, I'm like, let's just throw the stats out the window for a second and what we saw from the game.
Agreed.
Specifically. And Eli, in some of those moments, he was the best player on the field by miles. And so I'm just going to give him credit for that. And like, AI was a guy I grew up watching as a kid and was one of my favorite players.
Because I stepped over you like he did Tyronn Lue.
Wow. Tommy Call, Nash Solomon, Whitey Gleason. Coming up, we haven't even gotten into Jim Plunkett yet. In this season of surprises, what has surprised you the most about the 49ers? It's all next on the Saturday Spectacular. 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
And the Saturday Spectacular. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for all your participation at 888-957-9570. Chilton Autobody text line on fire today.
Yes.
Smoke billowing from the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795. We have the all-time sixth grade Pop Warner touchdown single season leader, Nash Solomon, the king of Twitter, Tommy Call, and I'm Whitey Gleason.
Do you think who had better Pop Warner statistics, whether even if it was basketball, football, or baseball, Nash Solomon or Daryl the Goober Johnson?
I'm not that familiar with I know where you're going, and I haven't heard all of his stories. Well, you could probably answer that. You've probably heard all of Guru's
I've heard
numbers.
Some Guru stories.
I've heard a lot of Guru stories. I don't know how valid they are, but I will say I have somebody, a few people that can back me up. I've never heard Guru say, ask this person, ask that person. I take Guru for his word, though. I will tell you this. Guru, all-time legend on the court. All-time legend on the court. And I know that.
He was legendary last night.
Daryl the Guru Johnson. I tell you, he's got some force going in there, but misses the layup.
Finishing at the basket has been the problem.
That was Guru at Chris Haynes Media Tournament during the NBA Finals. Guru last night was a legend. Heard he was sitting courtside.
Yes.
He
a baseline,
posted a photo,
I believe.
And tagged me for some reason.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was last night. JD and I and Bonte are up there, you know, sweating in the media section, which is wonderful, but what's Guru doing down there?
He's getting after it a little bit, popping a few Cokes.
At the very least.
I'm starting to tingle.
Guru's our guy.
We love him.
Cam Inman from the Bay Area News Group is coming up top of the hour with the latest on the 49ers. Ooh. As they get ready for Super Bowl week.
I don't even know if I'm going to ask him a football question. I might just ask him Miami questions.
Like about your Dolphins.
Nah. Come on.
Once again, yeah, Tommy, welcome back from Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile, Alabama.
Did you ever end up getting the Reese's swag that you were hoping to get?
No, so I was actually thoroughly disappointed last year, I was very – so a friend of mine was like, dude, you're going to get so much like – not like the off-brand – like Reese's trail mixes and the weird like the specialty Reese's.
Like the Reese's pieces inside the Reese's
exactly,
cup.
Like they have all these kind of different Reese's that you don't usually get in the stores or stuff they're testing out. And it's just everywhere and you can take like bags of it back to the hotel room. And I'm a Reese's guy. That's the goat candy in my opinion.
Well, what's the best Reese's?
So I like just your Reese's like the patties or Reese's shapes. Reese's shapes, boys. Reese's trees, Reese's eggs.
The Easter egg,
like
the Easter bunny.
Wow.
But the best is the Reese's sticks.
I never had it before.
Yeah.
So that's why I go to Mobile, Alabama. It's not even about the football. It's just to get my Reese's fiend on. And last year I went, and all it was just the little two packs of cups just spread out everywhere, everywhere you went in the hotel.
Oh, you
not
can
bad.
Eat?
Not what you bad, expected, but not bad.
But not bad. And then same thing this year. But there was like the Reese's mascot guy, which was pretty cool. I don't think he was peanut butter chocolate, though.
All right, how does he compare to the Chiefs mascot, a coyote or whatever that thing is?
I like the coyote.
Is that what it is,
a coyote?
I don't know.
I'd love to find out what it is.
I'm sure it's like a dog-looking thing. I find myself wondering, what the hell is that?
He's a wolf. He's Casey the Wolf.
Oh, okay.
And they also got war paint. The dude that rides in the horse.
Right.
Yeah,
but Reese is very underwhelmed. Very, very, very.
That's too bad.
I would like to launch, you know, like our boy on the text line launched a formal investigation or whatever we were calling it.
I would like to know. Pop Warner career.
Yeah, I'd kind of like to know what's up with the people over at Reese's about that. I would like some more free Reese's.
It probably don't need to give you free stuff, right? Because as you said, many, including yourself, consider it the goat candy. So why do they need to give free stuff?
Silk from the 415 is checking and attached the name, so we got to mention it. They said no love for Kit Kat or Twix. The context of the convo is the Senior Bowl is sponsored by Reese's. I just had a twixt myself. But, so there is love.
But I would say, though, and I hope this isn't even not a hot debate, and I would be shocked looking at the text line here where it's Reese's space, everything else.
No, Kit Kat.
Wow.
It's tough.
That's bad.
It's tough.
So you don't even have in Japan where they have all the different
the mints
flavors
and things like that.
Yeah, because Kit Kat apparently Kitokatu in Japanese means like good luck. So they are big fans of the Kit Kat.
Oh, wow. Man.
Yeah.
I'm a Kit Kat guy. I can rock with it. That's why I like the Reese's sticks. It's kind of a Kit Kat and Reese's had a kid together.
Okay.
So where in between.
So where do you stand on this debate, sir?
I'm a Reese's guy.
Okay.
But I also changed. Lately I've been Twix for the last week.
I'll stand down on that. Because we need to talk.
My dad raised me right. He said we only eat Reese's in this household.
I'm a football guy.
And I think it's great, Nash, that you finally have agreed to stand down on Eli Manning. You're finally acknowledging, Hall of Famer. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yes or no? Did I
misunderstand? I'm going to go ahead and say no, but we can agree to disagree. So he gets in because 2 out of 3 votes. You guys won.
So Nash, this is a good question from the text line. It's a little low, so I can't see who said it, but... would you rather have Dan Marino's career or Eli Manning's career if you played in the NFL?
I'm picking the winning versus the numbers.
No, just pick. It's one or the other.
I want Dan Marino. All I care about is myself. I want the numbers, baby. I don't want to be known as the guy that turned the ball over. The guy known as the dumb quarterback on the field. did you ever go?
Nash is painting the perfect picture of who he is right now on the radio. His Pop Warner stats he's laying out for us. His candy takes, and then now
I agreed with you on the candy take.
From
Whitey,
the 6-5
when was there
up,
ever
yes.
a game
What's that?
Was there ever a game where Eli was the more favorable quarterback?
You mean the better player? You mean rated going into the game?
Like,
or,
just going to the game, you trusted Eli more than the opposing quarterback.
Well, I'm sure there were. I mean, I'd have to look. I'm sure there were games that the Giants played where you'd rather have Eli than whoever was starting. I'd have to go back and look.
Probably not
I'm
often.
I'm sure he played it. Well, all right. I don't know how many, but to answer your question, yes. How about this from the 650? Eli Manning is Jim Plunkett. Very good quarterback, but not great. Well, a lot of people say Jim Plunkett should be in the Hall of Fame because he had his 2 Super Bowl wins. And I believe Jim Plunkett also had a 500 quarterback win-loss record.
So they're kind of hurting my argument here.
And I just see from the
90s.
Well, they gave me an assist, but also didn't.
All I really care about is someone on the 92.5 just saying sticks are garbage.
The 925 today.
It's amazing I haven't seen anyone that delighted since I was sitting next to Kolsky yesterday when he found out that Willie Cauley-Stein got traded.
He was up in arms.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm here for the.
I'm hurt by the 925 today. Tommy's a 707 guy. I'm not a 925 native, but that's my neighborhood. That's my neck of the woods. I'd like to think they got my back.
And we got here on the text line, Albie, our boy, producer of the Damon Bruce Show,
yes, sir,
saying that he can confirm that Nash is a Twix guy.
I've been eating
going
Twix.
Against the brand. I wonder what Albie's favorite candy is.
He eats the Twix with me.
I'll ask him. I'm his chauffeur.
That's a story for another day. let's get back on track here. I'm sorry. Oh,
would you rather have had Alex Smith in that NFC Championship game versus Eli and the Giants? Great question.
We're picking nothing here.
Well, come on. You said Eli
well,
ever?
Well, it wasn't Alex's fault. Kyle Williams, right? That's the Kyle Williams game?
The term you used was, he ever the more favorable quarterback, Eli Manning or Alex Smith in that game?
Probably Alex Smith, because wasn't that the infamous Kyle goodness. Williams game? They lost that game because of Kyle Williams? Is that not the game?
How many?
Would you put Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame over Michael Vick?
Well, wait, why do I have to put him in over somebody? Yes, I would. Because
the
6-5 vote
suggestion.
No doubt.
Oh, okay.
Well, Tommy said it earlier. Frank Gore's kind of like the setting stone. So I'm going to start using some guys that can be the setting tone for if a player deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
I disagree with your premise.
It's going to be tough for Eli to get in. There's a lot of quarterbacks that have already retired and will retire that are going to get in before him.
We'll see.
His brother's a guy. Tom's
what about
gonna be
Ben
a guy.
Roethlisberger?
Oh, automatic.
Automatic.
I think
Don't
he walks
think?
Right through.
Yeah.
He's got everything. You look at he's, again, my four pillars. He's,
as a person. Though.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That's the one to me that I'm like.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I think O.J. Simpson just made the NFL All 100 team. So.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Hello. Nash, would you agree here? Maybe we can move on. Perhaps you wouldn't agree. Would you agree that there's a very good chance that he's going to get in, no matter how you feel about it?
If you had to bet money on it.
That Eli will get into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, well, if we're betting money, I'd love to know the odds. But I would bet my money he does not get in the Hall
okay,
of Fame.
Okay, fair enough.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I would bet he does not. Just from hearing from people that have a lot of votes, Ray Ratto, a guy I respect, has a vote. He's not putting him in. So,
Ray Ratto has an NFL Hall of Fame vote.
I'm just assuming he does. He probably doesn't. These are guys that are longtime writers.
What you just said there casts aspersions on all your Pop Warner numbers and everything.
No, stop it. Stop it. I don't even know who gets Hall of Fame votes. I'm not even quite sure. Like, I know it's obviously the big-time
writers.
We need
to start an inquiry.
Yes, we will do that.
I'm going to ask Cam Inman, do you have a Hall of Fame vote?
Speaking of Cam Inman, and I know we touched on this earlier, I believe, the 49ers this year have been ranked by Bill Barnwell as one of the most surprising Super Bowl teams ever. I think he has them ranked second behind the 99 Rams, and I think he has the 81 49ers third. So how surprising is this 49er team to you, and what is the single most surprising element of this 49er season to you?
If I had to pinpoint one, I mean, I said it earlier, it has to be Deebo Samuel. I feel like he resurrected this offense. He obviously turned this offense into something that it wasn't earlier on. I mean, Jimmy wasn't airing it out earlier on in the season, probably wasn't asked to, but the second they obviously got Emmanuel Sanders, I feel like those two coincide. Deebo Samuel transformed this offense into something that we probably never saw it to become.
888-957-9570. Chilton Autobody text line 95795. And what is single? Single most surprising aspect of this 49er season? And also, what do you think of Reese's sticks?
I would love to hear that too.
So to pair off Nash's, though, I think was what's so impressive about specifically the wide receivers is you know, being the Super Bowl and having this week off, one thing I've liked to do, and I talked about it with our listeners for our post game is having some perspective on this year and kind of knowing the situation you're in. Like, you're on the verge of history, essentially. You're on the verge of getting your name raised into a banner type of thing because it's so monumental. But what it took to get here is always kind of fun look, because we live in such an industry and a world where we're just constantly focusing on the presence. But what made this Super Bowl run possible? And if you think about early in the season, you'd put the 49er wide receiving core as one of the weakest units on the team. You know, Dante Pettis was probably the guy that was going to be the number one. The number two behind that was Marquise Goodwin.
Right.
And now you look at it and you go, Emmanuel Sanders, Kendrick Bourne, Deebo Samuel's a number one wideout. That's a pretty darn good wide receiving core. Maybe not as good as the Chiefs, but it's really close.
It's
not a weakness anymore.
Exactly.
Right?
No, and I think a lot of that is to do with Deebo Samuel, but Debo's been impressive, but I don't think he would necessarily have as great of a season as he's had without the acquisition of Emmanuel Sanders, just because he's opened so many things up. He's tied so many knots on all these different things.
So I guess it's receivers, what me and Tommy are agreeing on, which is rare. We don't agree too often.
I know.
So Whitey Gleason, please find a way to make us argue, or what's your pinpoint?
I'm just going to enjoy this. Well, to me, it's the way they've been able to handle and manage and get through all the injuries along the offensive line. And maybe I'm just wrong these days about how important that is in today's NFL. I know we've had some pretty good teams that have had some pretty shaky offensive lines, but when you lose, you know, who wasn't hurt along that offensive line at some point? And even now, they're going to the Super Bowl without their center, right?
And it's still more than just the offensive line in terms of injuries. I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, the defense has had injuries. The receivers have had injuries.
Yes.
This is nice. We're all getting along here on 95.7 The Game. But I think you're right. There's never been a scenario probably in NFL history where a team's lost multiple offensive linemen and never skipped a beat.
Yeah, and school and Brunskill from the AAF, right? The San Diego Fleet.
Yes.
Yeah, Ben Garland.
I was a hotshot guy myself.
I think something that we need to give a lot of credit for, and something you're going to see a lot of these guys get bigger jobs than it is, but the 49ers assistant coaching staff has been fantastic. And you look at a guy like John Benton, who is the 49ers offensive line coach, because I was talking to somebody about it in Mobile, you know, talking about the 49ers. A couple of my buddies out there that I link up with are from the Midwest and are actually Chiefs fans out of Kansas City.
Oh, right.
And so I was chatting with them, and they're like, you know, what's up with their offensive line, because they're saying no way they'll be able to just push around the interior of the Kansas City defensive line. And I said, well, the most impressive part of the 49ers O-line is it's a unit. It's not one guy. Like, yeah, Mike Mulginski is very talented. Joe Staley has a lot of name value, and he's been there and done it. But I don't think you consider really any of those five guys top five at their position. I don't think you think this is one. These guys deserve to be the highest offensive linemen in the NFL. Like, you don't have that big, expensive number one guy, but they've played so well as a unit. And that's why you see Shanahan's run scheme work so well, because it's not like you put all this pressure on Joe Staley and Lincoln Tomlinson to create this gap of a hole. It's this unit that works so well. They're step for step. And we talk about how important it is to, on the offensive line, to have five guys. When you plug and play guys, and at different times you say, oh, well, he's playing next to Daniel Brunskill for the first time, their communication isn't there. We haven't really seen a mistake in that this year, even when they're plugging guys in. So I think, again, a lot of credit credit needs to go to John Benton, their offensive line coach, because communication, it's so key. And they've gone against some really tough defensive line and been successful. So I completely agree. I've been fascinated with watching the O-line.
We talked yesterday with Alex Boone, and to your point about, oh, can they push guys around in the interior at the risk of getting too nerdy. You know, you've got the 49ers, they do a lot of zone blocking, which is basically you just think of basketball, man-to-man or zone. Man-to-man, you block him, Nash, you block him.
Quote.
Zone is we're all going out into this area, and if somebody's in your area, you flatten them or you push them this way or that. So it's not just a matter of getting in the trenches and pushing around the guys in the interior, and offensive linemen love that.
Yeah,
yeah. I think the quote Boone used was it's like a search and destroy mission, and that just resonated so well in terms of how to understand that. But you mentioned, Tommy, offensive line play. None of these guys are top five at their position. Now, on the counterpoint, is anybody in this Kansas City Chiefs defense top five at their position?
Chris Jones is pretty darn good.
And he's dealing with injuries right now. I know he's questionable right now. He's going to play.
And what is it Nnamdi, the other interior guy? And then they have Kalen Saunders, who's a rookie who was out at the Senior Bowl last year, a small school guy. Did a backflip, actually, at practice, a 300-pound. And I interviewed him, so he had a baby born like the day before the Senior Bowl started. Pretty cool story. But this guy, he's really come on of late, because I was kind of picking the brains of some Chiefs guys out there, and they were looking at him like Kalen Saunders is this stud type of thing, this stud in the making kind of guy that's really going to set a spark, because it allows one-on-one matchups like we've seen here in the Bay Area for a guy like Frank Clark.
Right. We'll get to the phones in just a moment here. 888-957-9570. But speaking of the Chiefs defense, you know, last year a lot of 49er fans wanted the 49ers to fire Robert Saleh, right? And it's a good thing they didn't. Well, last year the Chiefs fired their defensive coordinator.
Mm.
Their defense
Steve Spagnuolo is their new guy, right?
Yeah. Was it Bob Sutton? They let him go.
Sutton was a mess.
They got a new defensive coordinator.
And Spagnuolo, Eli's buddy, who was his D coordinator, and I think was also the head coach of Eli Manning for a couple seasons. Spagnuolo's obviously turned this defense around. They went from, I have a buddy that's a Chiefs fan, and he used to say, any of these games they've won this year, if you'd have told me the Chiefs won the game scoring 24 points, I would have said you're drunk. And that's what this defense has turned into. They're capable of winning games where it's not in the 30s, not in the 40s, whereas last year, that's what Pat Mahomes had to do. They had to put up 50 burgers and 40 burgers, and just shows. I mean, sure, they're not a top 10 defense, but they're definitely in the upper half. They're still not a great defense, in my opinion, but they're in the upper half and have come a long ways.
And you look at, though, like you say, they're not a great defense in your opinion, and I agree with you, but you look at the guys in the interior, specifically of what we're talking about, is that you know, Chris Jones, you know, Derek Nnamdi, Frank Clark, those three guys right there, pretty impressive. Plus, they have this rookie, Kalen Saunders, that I was talking about, and now they have Terrell Suggs on the edge, which is those guys, like,
see, Hall of Famer, by the way?
Pretty close.
We missed him in our draft if he is.
We did miss
him. He's probably higher than a lot of the other guys we mentioned.
Yeah, we did. That would have won you the draft right there. That would have got you the A grade that we want, that we're looking for out here. But you're talking about specific guys, like, if you want to slow down, if you're going into this game and saying the 49ers need to run the football 30 times a game for them to win it, they don't need Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, that unit alone, just the defensive line, the interior to Frank Clark, let's say, it's pretty impressive. So it is going to be a little bit of a battle, I think. And because of how bad the Chiefs defense is known, I think, publicly, I don't think we're giving enough credit to those guys in the middle for them.
A Hall of Fame player once gave me a quote that could be the key to this entire Super Bowl. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, 888-957-9570. Joel in Berkeley, 95.7 The Game. Joel, thanks for hanging on. What has surprised you the most about this 49ers team?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I'm thinking it's the depth. Man, I mean, I know you guys just exhaustively went through the O-line.
Exhausting, yes.
Injuries.
That was exhausting for you, Joel?
No. I mean, you covered the whole thing. A lot of guys got injured. A lot of guys stepped up, and it there really wasn't that much of a tick. But, I mean, you look, too, like Jaquaski Tartt out for some games. Quan Alexander's out for half a season.
D4.
I mean, Dre Greenlaw, fifth rounder, steps up and absolutely killing it out there. He's so good that you can't take him off the field even when Quan's back. I mean, it's just weird. It takes a long time to build that depth, and it seems like, I know they've been building for a couple of years, but it seems like we're about 10 years ahead of where we should be building depth like that. I mean, who has all these guys just sitting around on the bench waiting to come up and just kill it?
And, Joel, don't you think, you know, the teams tend to have problems getting back to the Super Bowl. Who knows what's going to happen next week? But don't you think that suggests the 49ers have an excellent chance of staying at or near the top of the NFC for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I was thinking, I mean, after we, I It was after the Vikings game. I actually bet a guy, a high school buddy who's a Vikings fan. He has to fly out here and give me $100 in person. Anyway, can't believe he took the bet. What an idiot. Anyway, yeah, after that game, I sat back and I'm like, you know what? We're killing it this year, and everybody's surprised, but we're set up for like 3 to 5 years. I mean, all these guys are young, too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joel. Good to hear from you.
Shout out Berkeley, too, by the way.
Okay.
It's funny. It's interesting he mentioned something because, you know, at the Senior Bowl, I was talked a lot by people who come up to me and say, oh, well, what are you watching? What do the 49ers need? And I was like, this year's a lot different than years of the past because I could easily tell you the last 5 years what the position group they should probably, or what I think they do. But this year, because of the depth, right? It's all these guys where it's like, you don't look at this team where the Chiefs, you go, their defense is suspect at times, where they could probably draft a defender. Where the 49ers, like, they have dudes all over the place.
Clearly they need a quarterback. That guy's not a franchise quarterback throwing 8 passes.
Trade up for Burrow. Why not? Who says no?
Many years ago, you may remember when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers played the Raiders in the Super Bowl in San Diego. You know, Barrett Robbins went AWOL, and John Gruden won the Super Bowl against the Raiders. But that Super Bowl week, we were down there, and, you know, everyone's doing interviews. Like, this week, you'll hear all the interviews. Oh, Joe Lo and Dibs will be
right,
in Miami.
Radio Row.
Yeah, and Emmitt Smith was there. And I remember asking him, you know, who's going to win the game? And we were on a Raiders station at the time. And he kind of looked at me funny and he said, well, it's Super Bowl. The best defense always wins, right? And I never forgot that. And obviously in that game, that's what happened. So I think to a large degree, that could certainly apply to what's going to happen a week from Sunday.
But do you think there's a difference just because of the football that we are grown used to in the modern age? It's so pass happy. It's so offensive foot forward where we started off the show talking about that there's a story on Bleacher Report that multiple executives and coaches and whatnot think that it's going to be a blowout in the Chiefs' favor. I think we're thinking that and only saying that just because – this is the football we're used to.
That
this
could
is the,
very
the
well
pass
be.
Happy. Where defense now, it's like, oh, you have a good defense? Cool.
That could be, but I have 4 words for you. And you may be right, but I have 4 words. Look at last year.
I agree. I agree. Like, I like the defensive football. I'm just saying to kind of play devil's advocate since I have established the devil's advocate chair of the three-man league.
No,
here.
He's the devil's advocate.
Yeah, he likes to copy me. You know, I get it. It's flattering after time.
It's flattering.
But that to say, well, I can't even look at me with this serious.
Why don't we go through the past
right
few Super Bowls? You tell me if they're defensive games or not.
No, I'm just saying I agree. Like, I think the deep, but just to, again, to play
right,
devil's advocate,
it's a lot
it's
different.
Just, it's just a different
you
way.
I think I agree football with you. Tackling people is a 15-yard penalty. Yeah.
I mean,
so, you know, it's
I think I kind of agree with Tommy, though. I mean, I really think it's been
that's hard for you to say, isn't it?
We've been agreeing a lot this hour. It's been the happy hour. New England Patriots and Rams last year, obviously defensive grudge match. But it wasn't too long ago when it was a 41-33 Super Bowl between the Eagles and the Patriots. Mm. Both defenses didn't even exist. I mean, 34-28, that's that Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl. 24-10, that's Denver-Carolina.
888-957-9570. Joe's in San Francisco. He joins us on 95.7 The Game. Hello, Joe.
Oh, what's up, guys?
Hey.
What's up, Joe?
And I wanted to respond to the question about what surprised you the most. And mine is a little bit more high level. I'm really surprised how bought in everyone is to the Niners team and the organization. Especially, you know, being like they weren't a successful team last year, 4-12. It's just rare to see everybody so on the same page, so bought into the coaches, their teammates. And I think that's what, you know, hasn't been talked about as much in their success is just the culture and the buy-in.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. I think I'm guilty. I can't speak for anyone else. Situations like what we've seen this year, I think I'm guilty of sometimes giving too much credit to the coaches. Oh, they found, you know, Mostert, they put him in the right position, and oh, they've got this camaraderie. And sure, the coaches deserve a lot of credit for that. But the players deserve most of the credit.
Yeah,
I agree.
I'm definitely a football fan that kind of stands or hates on coaching. Like I'm a big believer that, yeah, that's kind of my brand here that I'm a big, because they're the first thing you blame too, right? Where maybe the players sometimes you celebrate, where the coaching, it's bad coaching, right? That's the one thing. And I just love that side of the game. I love the X's and O's. I love the scheme style things that Kyle Shanahan does. You know,
So to you, players are not even people. They're just commodities.
Well,
they're
no,
just
I think Kyle Shanahan's the perfect weapon where you go, he can find a guy like Raheem Mostert, Matt Breida, a little bit of Tevin Coleman, and turn them into almost Hall of Fame caliber running backs, right? Where he makes these guys look like they're the best in the league.
Yeah.
And with a different coach, I don't know if he could do that.
Coaching definitely is something that's underrated in football, I think.
Underrated?
I think obviously it comes down to the players, but how many times have we seen dysfunctional franchises turn around because of the right coach? I mean, we're looking at one right now at the San Francisco 49ers.
Mm. Brian Flores in Miami.
Jim Sula, to channel my inner whoever said that wrong.
Bludgeon, bludgeon, bludgeon.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, football, a huge aspect of football isn't just X's and O's. It's almost like you got to be a sergeant in the military. You got to be able to rally the troops. You got to get these guys to buy in.
Yeah.
And I think people undervalue that aspect of football a lot.
It's not only the X's and O's. It's leading grown men.
You know why I think the fact that really proves your point, Nash, about coaching being underappreciated, and you mentioned a 49er assistant coach. Look how many position coaches there are in the NFL that are anonymous.
Mm.
You know, and we look at the head coach and the coordinator, and there are so many coaches on every team that do so much. We don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
Tom is a guy that actually looks deep into coaching staffs. And a guy that he's been on for a while, to give credit to this Niners offense, is Mike McDaniel, their offensive run game coordinator.
Good Morning Football did a whole segment on him this week. And I was like,
I think Tommy probably copied their content. He probably heard them talking about it a few months ago. But it just little things like that. Like right now, what is it, Eric Bieniemy? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, for the Kansas City.
He's the O coordinator for the Chiefs.
Yes.
Obviously doesn't call the plays, but he's obviously still involved in the process to a game plan. Like, these guys need to be known more often. It's not just a head coach. It's your whole staff.
It's so beyond frustrating and tilting for being so interested in the coaching aspect of things. When it comes to hiring new coaches, you never hear about the new guy. You never. That's why these guys are so nameless, because
you want to
rehire Jack Del Rio, and you want to. It's never
Kubiak
or Kyle Shanahan.
Kubiak, by the way, the OC now in Minnesota.
Yeah, which is that's deserving. He's fantastic. He's fantastic as an offensive coordinator.
He runs the same thing Shanahan runs.
Yeah, he was there this year just as an advisor.
He was. I think the run game coordinator is what they called him, or something like that. But anyways, just these guys, they never get shots. Why Eric Bieniemy is not a head coach is beyond me, because they want to hire these retreads.
So how relevant is the Chiefs win over the 49ers last year to what could happen next Sunday? We'll find out with 49er beat writer Cam Inman. He joins us next on the Saturday Spectacular, 95.7 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.